The Swiss Army knife is a multi-tool pocket knife developed and manufactured by Victorinox. As implied by the knife's name, Victorinox have been contracted by the Swiss Army from the late 19th century until the present day to manufacture a standard-issue pocket knife. Positioned on one side of the knife's grip, the company's logo remixes the Swiss coat of arms. The grip itself was once made from oak wood, treated with rapeseed, but as this material began to splinter over time and with heavy use, it was replaced with the deep red fiber that the brand is now well known for, another reference to Swiss national imagery. On each side of the knife, these red grips sandwich a wallet of stainless steel tools and accessories. The model I hold is more complex than the basic range. It contains two knives, a pair of scissors, a Phillips head screwdriver, two flathead screwdrivers, a magnifying glass, a corkscrew, toothpick, and pair of tweezers. When closed, the body of the tool is as long as my palm and it sits comfortably in an enclosed fist. If dropped onto a wooden floor, it makes a loud clank. It is heavy relative to its moderate size. Each stainless steel tool uses a pivot point mechanism that stows away every main component inside the body. This spring-loaded mechanism snaps each tool open and closed, emitting a confident click as it locks itself into place. Under the tapping of my fingernails, the grip emits a rhythm of quiet clinks and clicks. Squeezing the knife from both sides, grinds, crackles, and crunches grains of dirt and sand collected from beaches and bushland areas that are hidden inside the crevices between the grip and the steel body of the knife. For me as a young child, this knife was a way of role-playing what it might be like to live off the land, hunting for fish and animals with the sharpened end of a whittled stick. To create this weapon, I would run the pointed end of the blade along the wood, each stroke creating an elongated scrape ending with a quick crescendo as strips of bark fly away and the end of the stick becomes more spear-shaped. Pulling from personal childhood memories again, as I snack on an apple writing this podcast, I'm reminded of the way that my grandfather would use his pocket knife to cut up different fruits for my cousins and I on our bushwalks. The blade would crunch, squelch, and squish as it parted sweet flesh into portions for each of us. For many, this object is a never-leave-home-without kind of possession. It is well-made, reliable, and practical in a range of situations. Our sensory interpretation for this object, with its weighted and ergonomic feel in the palm of our hands and the confident clicks and snaps of its spring-loaded mechanisms, support a sensory interpretation of this penknife as something that is strong and will not fail in times of need. If we extend our sound analysis to include language, we can recognize that culturally this interpretation is fairly unanimous, as evidenced by the figure of speech, the Swiss Army knife of ... to imply that something has an extreme utility to suit almost every situation at hand. However, in considering the tradition where a Swiss Army knife or another kind of penknife is given as a gift from father to son, we can view the penknife as not just a symbol, but as a tool of agency and freedom that for a young boy frames the world as something that he is able to sense freely and move freely within, adapting to and overcoming the challenges that he is faced with. But what is it about this intergenerational exchange that is distinctly characterized by patriarchal power structures and sensory experiences? In Ways of Seeing, Constance Klassen and David Howes write that from the traditional perspective of the Western patriarchy, women are perceived as desirable to see, touch, and hear, but also present a potential challenge to male dominance. Through their temptation, sensuality, and seductive touch, women threaten the morality, masculine rationality, and physical power of the patriarchy. The result of this is a closeting of women and their sensoriality as a way of removing the dangerous temptation from men's sight and touch and protecting women from both their own sensual desires as well as the passions of men. Consequently, female sensoriality is largely confined to the domestic space, meaning they predominantly engage with the senses of touch, taste and smell that are involved in housework, whilst men are free to explore the world. With this in mind, we can view this father-to-son gifting of a pocket knife as a manifestation of patriarchal power structures that shape our sensory experiences. It is important to flag that the point in saying this is not necessarily a condemnation of this particular masculine exchange as something that is unhealthy or oppressive. Rather, I aim to point to the context in which it occurs as one which is historically one-sided and favoring a male sensory experience of the world.